Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
Rick Unger, and my old partner from the Steele and Unger days, welcome back to the podcast, baby.
It has been a few minutes, man. We haven't done this in a while.
Well, look, you were the one going off there doing all this, you know, wild and, you know, crazy stuff people do when they supposedly retire or think they're going to do something else. And I just, no. So it's been a while, but we're back.
Mostly I'm just watching TV. It's great.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. So, as I was telling Rick, folks, before we came on, this conversation is tailor-made for Steele and Unger because it hits on all the appropriate hot spots, the good and the bad and the ugly of the last couple of weeks that we've seen play out across the nation. This is a potpourri. We can start anywhere you really want. You've got January 6th commission, you've got the gun debate and the big rally this past weekend, and the Senate Republicans apparently now saying, oh yeah, we've always wanted gun reform, and midterm elections coming up. Where would you like to go first, my friend?
Let's start with the January 6th commission, because some of my reactions might surprise.
Oh, well, then let's get into that bad boy. So here's the landscape, folks. So for the first time in well over a generation, two generations, you had the country apparently transfixed on a congressional hearing. The last known time really that commanded that kind of attention was the Watergate hearings. And 20 million plus people tuned in, which shocked everybody. That was the little quick sidebar. It was the reaction from a lot of folks out there that 18 to 20 million people actually sat down and watched the thing.
Unless you are a Trump supporter. Because if you were a Trump supporter, you were busy on Facebook and social media talking about what an abject failure it was that in prime time, it only could get 20 million people.
Yeah, right. And look, not the All-Star game, the World Series.
Nothing. The final game of the World Series last year, 4 million something.
Yeah, these guys.
You know, I actually used it as a lesson with a friend of mine who is a Republican, who is a Trump supporter, and who's posting articles saying, oh my God, what a disappointment. And I went, dude, you know, you're entitled to your point of view and you're entitled to whatever information is going to make you feel better about your point of view. But you gotta understand that when you put things up like that, I said, and by the way, Democrats who are busy on social media saying, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. They're full of shit too.
Right.
You know, the fact of the matter is it was well within the range, you know, for a presidential State of the Union, it runs between 30 and 40 million. For a congressional hearing, 20 million is on the higher side. It's not the end all be all, but it sure as hell is not some kind of a disappointment.
No.
So, you know, all you do is when you say stuff like that is anybody who's going to take the trouble to actually do the research to find out what's what, they're going to go, well, you're not a very good analyst. You may be a good cheerleader, but you're not a good analyst.
Yeah. And I think the thing that for me that made that 20 million, because you're right, that it falls within a range for hearings and things that Congress does.
High end, but it was
high end. What made it interesting for me is that the country has not been dialed into this conversation.
No,
the country has not been dialed into the January 6th hearings. They've been going on for quite some time now. There's been all kinds of dance around whether or not they were reaching people, they were successful, and then, you know, little fights here and there that would pop up. The fact that the country did, in fact, take a moment and tune in, to me, was salient. So having said that, now that we've done with the Nielsen part of the program, what do you think the general impression that most Americans took away from that opening salvo?
Yeah, it's a great question, because you know, you can weed out a large part of the public. Those who are ardent Trump supporters, this is not going to have much of an impact on them. those who are ardent Trump opposers, they're pretty set too in how they feel about this. So what you're really playing for are people who might be persuadable. It's been persuasive. It has. I mean, there's so far there hasn't been a lot new that if you've been following along with this, you didn't already know, but you did get to see some of it. You got to, you know, we had heard about what Bill Barr had to say, but now we got to actually see him say it. But there is a flaw, Michael, and it's a flaw that's bothering me. And I think I understand why it has to be, but it's going to take away from the ability to persuade. I genuinely miss cross-examination. Now, the witnesses aren't much in the way of witnesses. I don't think any one of them has spoken for more than a total of 3 to 5 minutes. You know, it's really a show for the people on the panel. But I miss the opportunity to hear somebody who has a differing point of view pose questions to those witnesses.
Well, presumably that's taking place. But presumably that's taking place inside the hearings, correct?
No, I don't think it is, because there's nobody on that panel who is want to do that. I mean, look, if this had been set up the way it should have been set up, and the fault is clearly with McCarthy and the Republicans, right, you would have had a panel with Republican inquisitors and Democratic inquisitors. The problem is McCarthy tried to stack it. He didn't want inquisitors. He wanted disruptors. He wanted Jim Jordan,
right?
He wanted people who would mess it up. And I can certainly understand why Nancy Pelosi wasn't going along with that. But, you know, wouldn't it be nice when you've got witnesses who are making certain statements and averring certain things, if there was somebody from the other side to say, well, wait, let's take a closer look at that. And I'm missing that. So the whole thing does feel, I think it's all true. I don't think anybody's lying or feathering, right, but it feels totally one-sided.
And that's interesting, because that's an interesting point, because my view of it is I don't need that. For some reason, you actually now have me thinking a little bit more about it, but I don't know if that's something that I really need. Do I really need, after 4 years of the bullshit out of the Trump team, Trump and the pacifiers and appeasers and liars on behalf of Trump, particularly folks like a Jim Jordan?
They would not have edified.
To sit there. And so then the question begs, who would have been that rational player who would sit there and objectively prosecute the other way to say, okay, I understand, Attorney General Barr, but when you say that the president was not in his right mind about these things, give me an example.
Yeah, what do you mean?
What do you mean?
You're right. Unfortunately, that's the reality of the situation. We don't have a Congress any longer where you can get that. Let's go back to the Watergate hearings. I know you remember them. Yeah. I remember them, being older than you. You did have that. You didn't have Republicans or Democrats on that committee grandstanding. You didn't have Democrats taking political shots. The Republicans weren't busy trying to make Dick Nixon look good. They were really asking questions, trying to get to a certain, you know, truth. Wouldn't it be nice if we still had a Congress that was like that? Yeah, it couldn't be, because I don't think you could have found 4 or 5 members for that committee from the Republican side who would not have been busy playing games. And what a shame that is. What a shame that is. And shame on McCarthy for not attempting to at least try and find members who would, you know, be, from their point of view, fair-minded and ask questions. Then on the other hand, though, there wouldn't be much to ask, because these witnesses, I genuinely wonder in most cases why they're even there, because they are literally saying nothing. It's the questioner, whether it be Lofgren or whether it be Thompson or Cheney. They're doing all the talking. And for anybody who's watching, you know, not even other members of the committee are saying anything. It's just the questioner. And the testimony is literally only a few minutes.
No, it is. And that's part of the problem in one sense. But I think from a practical standpoint, it makes sense to do it the way they're doing it, because they're basically trying to treat this like an episode of Law and Order.
No, right? I think that's right. And that will not play well with some people.
It won't play well with some people, but this isn't geared for some people.
Well,
this is geared for a whole different subset of voters and viewers out there.
But they're the ones, in my view. I mean, you and I, we pretty much got our minds made up. And I think that, you know, our BS detector is telling us that what we're hearing out of these hearings is legit.
Right.
Okay. But I think the people who they've got to reach are the ones who are sitting there who think, all right, I'm open to hear this. I don't think that Congress or Democrats have been very fair to Donald Trump, but I'll listen. And I'm afraid that they come away from this saying, this was so one-sided. Nobody said a kind word about Donald Trump. Nobody in all these hearings was there to stand up and say, well, wait, I don't know. You know, using your example,
right.
Bill Barr, you know, you said he was out of his mind. Well, you know, that's easy to say, Mr. Barr, Attorney General. But what does that mean? What really made you think he was out of his mind? I think that's missed. And I think that is going to leave a certain segment of the population feeling like this whole thing was just one giant setup.
That's it. That's interesting. I'm not convinced that voters are going to be that invested in this.
Very well be right about that.
In this to sort of come to the conclusion that you just did, although I can definitely see that conclusion being met, you know, by at least. A fraction of those viewers out there. How do you then, so you're looking at the overall narrative of this hearing, Liz Cheney, in my view, has just on the first ring of the bell, threw down the gauntlet with the Republican Party and saying, you know, when she said Trump will go away. Someday he will be gone.
Yeah, right.
But your involvement here, what you did, will
be remembered.
That will be remembered. And I think that to me was a very compelling moment. And everybody, of course, was started then, you know, literally on Twitter and outside and Facebook and places like that. Well, you know, she's down 30 points in her district at home. She could give a shit whether she was down 30
points. Apparently.
She could care less. Because
she knew where she was going.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Heck, give us 2 5-star reviews. I love it. Or catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get that podcast thing on. You know how that goes. Peace out.
All right, America, you asked for it. Or maybe you didn't. But either way, we have to talk. You're just in kind of a crazy place right now, Mr. and Mrs. USA. So we're going to sit down a couple of times a week and work it out between us. The way Americans do. On a podcast. Hosted by Beowulf Rocklin. Weird name. Weird news. Weird politics. Weird country. Facepalm America. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen.